Hey everybody, we got another really good couple episodes today, episode 15 and 16. We're going to record both of the interviews today, one with a awesome girl from Nashville, Tennessee, I'm sorry, I'm kind of high right now, in Nashville, Tennessee. She works in a occult bookstore. She has something to do with a music festival. She's an artist, and the other person, Naima Cow, I've been talking to for a little while. She's really cool. She has her own podcast called Creatively Queer, which is pretty much just as it sounds. They have a lot of really, man, just go listen to their podcast. They're fucking great. You guys will really dig her. Very interesting individual. She's a lot of fun and very bright person. Loves psychedelics and just an all around happy person so far. Like, and I really enjoy their art and their open mindedness. And I think it's gonna be a lot of fun. What do you think, Kurt?
I think it'd be good. I think it's a good time.
Yeah, it's gonna be a good time.
Hell yeah. Be awesome. I'm excited.
How are you feeling right now, buddy?
Very good. Like, yeah? Really, really nice. Very positive, optimistic. Feel good about life right now. I know where I'm headed and I'm happy.
Things are good.
Things are good. They're gonna get better.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. We're gonna pause and we're gonna hit this shit.
Good shit.
And we're back. I'm hitting this cool spiral bowl thing.
Helix. Cyclone.
It's incredible. It's incredible.
The best pipe I've ever
had. It's the coolest thing I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm. You know what? This is the kind of pipe that you don't have a problem spending $60 on.
No, because it's so cool every time you smoke out of it. Mm-hmm.
It just, it never gets old.
And no, it never gets old.
It just gets you as high as a bong almost.
Yeah.
If not higher. Because you can just keep fucking packing it. And it's like, it's not, you don't have to take the carb out. It's not as much work.
Yeah, it's nice.
And the hits are fucking massive. It's not even a bubbler. It's literally a dry
chamber. You gotta speak a little louder, I think.
Oh, okay. It's a dry chamber, but this thing is not a bubbler. It's a helix cyclone pipe. So basically what happens when you hit it, the smoke comes into the chamber kind of like a straight stream of smoke. Mm-hmm. And then when you...
It swirls and like twists like...
It swirls and twists and then explodes into a cloud after you take your finger off the carb. Yeah. So it immediately fills it up and it can be so cloudy and milky in there. I guarantee you not even the heaviest of stoners can clear it.
It's wonderful.
It's incredible. And
it's a great bowl.
Oh yeah.
And it's very entertaining.
It's very entertaining. It's like watching a TV show.
It is.
Yeah. It's like Robot Chicken and Super Jail combined.
This bowl is Robot Chicken and Super Jail combined.
It's that fucking crazy.
So, today was my last day at my job with Richard and Billy. He's been on the podcast and a couple other homies. Emilio. Emilio was on the podcast, the wrestling one. We'll have to have him back on. He's still doing Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and doing the thing. So that's cool. Emilio's a good guy. We'll have him back on sometime. Yeah, man. It was my last day, though. It was pretty bittersweet. Everybody was coming up to me and, like, saying, hey, man, like, it sucks you found, you know, like, you're leaving. Like, we're glad, you know, you're moving onward and upward, and you seem to be happy about this change, and we're happy for you. Which is really exciting, and I'm just really happy. Like, I'm starting a new job come Monday. This is what, Friday now? Yeah, so in a couple days I'm starting a new job. It'll be really good change of pace. I'll be a utility line, what do they call it? Surveyor or something. I'll be the guy out there for the USIC 811 homies that are out there spray painting the shits. so people don't kill themselves when they be digging in their yard. That's my job. I'm the 811, don't dig, homie. I be saving lives. And then white trucks be watching for us. We out here. But anyways, it was nice. A lot of my friends were coming up to me and being like, man, it sucks to see you leave, but we're happy for you. I talked to an old guy, Fred. He's like 90. He came up to me today and he was like, you know, man, I'd keep you. If it was up to me, I would have gave you your money and, you know, kept you around. I think you're a good guy. And I had a lot of people say that to me, and it was just like really bittersweet the way, I mean, I left with a notice just in case if shit was weird at my new job and I needed a place to go back to, I wasn't going to be without income for my family. Like, that's very important. So, but if I was to go back, I wouldn't be doing the same thing I left doing. I would be back in my old department, but making the same, which, you know, it's familiar and comfortable, but it's still not what I need, you know. And I appreciate everyone there not being dicks about me doing something that's for my betterment. Like, they understand it's closer to home, better benefits. And it's not like I'm not going to be their friend anymore for, like, all those, like, my work homies. Like, shout out to the Fogles. Shout out to Sonny and Billy. He's been on the podcast a few times. He's wild as fuck. Does it?
It looks like your fucking brain is coming through your fucking forehead right now.
That's great.
I fucking swear to God.
My brain.
Looks like your brain is coming through that side of your forehead.
That's cool.
It's fucking insane right now.
Well, Curtis is actually seeing my brain come out through my forehead right now.
It's like moving and shit. It's like tripping me the fuck.
You cool see my shit. Brain, dog?
Dude, it's like nuts.
What?
It's like skin, like, I don't know. It's I feel like you just have this red part of your flesh that's just, like, really raw.
I'm sorry.
Your face. No, you're good.
I'm sorry.
You're just like, what's up with that? You need to put on lotion or something.
What are you talking about?
Your forehead. It looks like your brain is coming through.
My brain is coming through my forehead.
I
what?
I can't explain it.
Try to, for the podcast.
Like, it looks like...
Say it loud.
Okay, it looks like the pigmentations on Tommy's forehead are becoming more red and more like dead skin almost. So, like, his forehead looks like it's changing pigmentation right now.
What?
Right there, and it looks like it's just, like, literally shifting. And I'm seeing it, like, fucking just... Like, it's just whooshing around like a rapid or something.
What?
Like a pool of waves.
My head is?
I feel like your forehead is doing that right now.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm just like, holy shit. And it literally looked like your brain was literally showing through your skin. Like, your skin was translucent and your brain was showing it.
Did you see it?
That's what it looked like. Like, right there.
Did you see my brain, dude?
I thought I did.
Dude, dope. What's it look like?
Really,
brainy?
Really white. Really, like, weird looking.
Sorry, I got a weird looking brain.
No, it looks like a brain though. It looked like really like a gruesome brain.
You're welcome.
Yeah, that brain was crazy looking.
I got a crazy looking brain.
It looked really realistic.
Man.
Yeah, your forehead just like changing colors like crazy right now. It's just going what? From like red to like, it's like going from like red to like pink to like
no.
red, and now it's changing pigmentation again. It just looks like your fucking skin. It's just like, oh my god, dude. It just looks like it's getting darker and like the shade's just changing all over your face.
What?
I don't know. It's fucking. I don't know.
Are you lying to me right
no,
now?
No, I'm not.
What?
I'm not fucking lying to you. I'm just like. I'm
Are
sorry.
You tripping out at me so hard right
no,
now?
No, I'm not. I'm sorry. I'm not.
Are you tripping hard?
I think so.
I think he's back.
I'm good.
Back down the spiral we go, round and round we go.
I'm sorry, bro. Are you good?
I'm great. Are you good? Is my question.
Yeah, I'm okay.
I'm more than great. But yeah, anyways, we got some good ones coming up today. I don't know if I'm going to even keep this intro for it. But yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. And yeah. 2, 1, go. Hey everybody, this is Trippy Tommy for the Trippy Cupcakes podcast. I'm here with my boy Big Kurt and Sonny, aka Richie, in his house. We are doing the fucking thing. We've got a good one for you this evening. My good friend Nay McHale is here, well, sort of here. we're on the phone, and we're gonna talk about some cool shit. She has a podcast called Creatively Queer that I listened to like my last day at work on Thursday. And man, it's so fucking good. Like, you just the flow is so good, and the people you have on there is like incredibly interesting. Lance, I believe, was the last one I listened to. Oh wow, what an interesting fellow. Just like I could feel his energy through the interview. It was fucking awesome. I was like, man, I'd love to meet this dude. So tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from? Age, family, yada yada.
I grew up in Northern California. I just say Sacramento, the capital, because it's easiest. Most people have heard of that. If people have not heard from Sacramento, I say San Francisco, because it's 2 hours away, close enough.
Right.
I moved to Grand Rapids, Michigan, almost four years ago with my partner at the time. And that was the best decision I ever made because it's my favorite place I've ever lived. And
it's gorgeous.
It's fantastic. So, all the gratitude for that. Let's see. Yes, I live in Grand Rapids. I created Creatively Queer. It's what I want to turn into a creative artistic brand, but right now all it is a podcast. But my vision for that later on looks like doing indoor outdoor festivals, live shows, producing videos, signing artists, the whole shebang.
Awesome. That's really big.
My goal for Creatively Queer. What'd you say?
Oh, I'm sorry. I mean, I was just saying, wow, that was like really, that's big. Like, I'm just really excited for you. Like, I believe you got it. Let's fucking go. And I'd love to. I love seeing my friends fucking explode and do amazing things and just change the plane of existence we're on. It's like really fucking cool to see people actually trying, you know? Especially despite the crazy shit we're dealing with the COVID and just like, man, the riots. And it's just like, what the hell, man? My daughter started school a couple days ago and she has to wear a mask all day. It's kind of hard to explain to her, like, this is the world we live in now. Everybody looks like a nurse.
Yeah.
Like, it's just crazy. Sorry I interrupted, man. Like,
actually, no, that's good. That brings me to a point about Creatively Queer is I launched it, I think, April 30th, right when, I mean, all the quarantine stuff started going down in March, but I was realizing I was kind of coming out of personal mental health crisis myself and unrelated to world issues, more just deeper personal relationship level stuff. And I was coming out of that, just being in a really dark place, and I was realizing how important art is to me, how important art is to most everyone I love in some fashion or another, and how the world needs art and artists now more than ever. This is the perfect time to rise up a community of people who are significantly singular-minded and changing the world through the power of art and community. That is what Creatively Queer is about.
And that's like, wow. I couldn't have summed it up better myself. Like, I really, really enjoy listening to your podcast. Like, I listened to the first one all the way to your latest one now. And, like,
thank you.
I've seen you progress. I'm like, well, seen. Not technically, but, like, you know what I mean? Just, like,
I totally.
I felt you get more comfortable through it, and like that's the thing I really enjoy about doing the podcast thing is it's like a very therapeutic thing. It's like I learned more about myself, and like we had an episode where we were talking about reoccurring nightmares, and like I brought up like an old trauma, like a nightmare I had for like 10 years, just And I don't know why, it was just like a thing, but like just randomly due to the podcast, we had a question about dreams and like, what do you think that like manifests? Like, is it just shit that's just randomly in your file cabinet and your manic fucking secretary just pulls random shit out and that's your dreams? Or how does that work, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's kind of, it just threw me down that rabbit hole, and it was very therapeutic to talk about that, because, like, it was something I haven't thought about since I was, like, a kid. But those night terrors were fucking scary, man. Like, so it's just, like, it's just constantly opening up cans of worms that I thought was, like, dead and gone or just buried, you know? It's, like, it's really cool to see, like, people using this new form of medium. Now we don't have to fucking watch TV or depend on that shit.
Yeah, I love you kind of went past this point a little bit, but back when you said that you like how much podcasting helps us grow and changes us and the things we learn about ourselves, I fully agree and have experienced that in just a short while that I've been podcasting. It's really a neat thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sorry, my dog started barking, and my ADHD brain kind of just blanked out there. Could you repeat that? I'm sorry, like, just the last part? I'm sorry. I don't want you to think I'm not listening.
No, it's okay.
I like to just attentively listen as much as possible, because I'm... You know what I mean? You're, like, you're giving me your time, so I want you to feel like you're, like, literally in the room with us. Like, if I met you face-to-face, I'd just hug you, because I'm that kind of person. I'd just be like, yo, you're loved. Yeah. You're with us right now, so... Yeah.
You know, I do the thing where one of my guests will be talking, like, intently about something, right? And I'll, like, be just intently listening and completely listening and not thinking about what I'm going to say next. So then when they're done talking, I'm like, I'm, like, trying to conjure up a question or, like, some way to sound smart, like I was listening or whatever.
You're trying to, like, wring out the sponge for, like, any lasting little thing. Like, I remember kind of what you said. I'm trying to keep up, but, you know, it's rough.
I get it, man.
I'm a space. Like, they don't call me trippy for nothing. Sometimes I just... Life's a trip, man. And, like, I enjoy psychedelics a lot. That was one of the questions I was going to have for you.
Go ahead. Ate a couple stems and caps about half an hour ago.
Fucking A, you are with the trippy cupcakes. I appreciate you getting into the spirit. Like, it's fucking Christmas. Thank you.
I really needed to go all in. Yeah.
We appreciate that. Awesome. Thank you. Wow.
Yeah. I'll let you know how it goes. It kind of takes a while for them to hit me, though, so we'll see what happens.
That's great, though. We had a really good acid trip last night. My friend Kurt, like...
Ooh.
Yeah, if you look like the intro to this podcast, I'm going to keep some of it because we were just sitting there bullshitting and kind of, like, just capturing it, what was going on. And there's a point where he looks at me and he's like, bro, your forehead is just, like, changing colors and there's different faces and it's melting. I can see your brain. Like, my forehead became translucent and he could see my brain moving and functioning. And he's, like, describing it to me, and, like, I recorded it for, like, a good 2 minutes. It was just, like, fucking incredible, because it was the realest thing on the planet to him. Like, vividly, he was telling me about it. I was like, dude, I wish I'd seen this. But I could...
Damn, how deep were you guys in that? Like, how many did you do?
He did one of these Jelly Boys we got, and I took 3.5. And they're 250s, so it was like...
Yeah.
I was pretty deep at that point, so I was just, like, incredibly interested in the fact he was, like, telling me my face is, like, shape-shifting. I was like, fuck, man, I wish I could see through your eyes right now. Like, holy shit. So what's one of the craziest things that you've ever seen, like, while tripping, like, visuals-wise? Like, I always get auditory hallucinations, typically, but...
I remember being up north, the northern peninsula of Michigan, last summer with my girlfriend for her birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And we went 5.5G of shrooms each.
Oh, that's heroic.
Yeah, I've done up to 7. They've all been pretty
spiritual
pretty
as fuck.
Huh? What was that?
I said spiritual as fuck.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, please tell us more.
So last summer up north, for context, I grew up like super fundamentalist conservative, like Baptist Christian.
Oh, word.
Republican, like gun-toting, NRA, like the whole nine yards. That's how I grew up.
So did that affect your coming out process at all? Like, did that make it harder doing with the Christianity?
Yeah, I'll totally go that direction with it in a minute.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. But kind of just related to this trip, it was kind of me mourning the loss of my religion. So I was seeing, like every time I close my eyes,
mm-hmm.
like, picture the most, like, vast, thick, like, sky of stars you've ever seen.
Okay.
Like, bright and twinkling.
Oh, man.
And, like, all of that. Like, that's what it was. And then I started seeing planets. And then, like, it was like watching a fucking, like, interstellar or, like, something crazy where you're, like, taken deep into these nebulas and like, black holes and, like, all of this stuff. Really, that's how shrooms work for me. I don't really see a lot of visuals, like literally, figuratively, like hallucinations through my physical eyes, especially when I close my eyes. And I would attribute it to, like, third eye realism or intuition at that point, really. Like,
right.
Me seeing into an interdimensional visualization. That's more what I would see it as. And that particular trip, yeah, was me grieving the loss of my religion and coming into a place of, you know, you grow up in something and that is your identity.
Right.
For 20 plus years. You're baptized. I was baptized twice. Like, I went to missionary school. I went to Bible school. Like, this was my, I lived and breathed Jesus and the Bible.
Damn.
And now I don't really identify with that anymore. And I felt so lost and so sad. And it was just true grief. So I was grieving that. And that was a really significant trip for me.
That's incredible.
Yeah, do you want me to keep talking about the psychedelics, or do you want me to go into my kind of my coming out story?
Since we were already kind of like leading into that, yeah, go ahead and so how old were you when you like had a feeling that you weren't like the typical conventional, you know, gay, straight, whatever, you know what I mean?
What
the Bible thumpers try to, you know, throat fuck you with the Bible with, you know what I mean? Like, I think it's kind of crazy to think Jesus, a guy that had, like, mainly male followers, it's crazy to think maybe he didn't get a blowy from one of them or something, you know? Like, who knows?
He's a good-looking guy.
Who knows?
I mean, I wasn't there.
That's true.
But go ahead, I'm sorry, I'm just saying it. Who's?
There's a book you should... Do you read? Do either of you read? Like,
yes.
Do you like reading?
Oh, Sonny is an avid reader. So, yeah, definitely holler at us with that.
Hold on. I'm Googling something real quick, making sure I get the title of this book right.
Well, that was a good note right there. Hit that one again.
Okay, so... This book is called The Gospel According to Biff, Jesus Christ, Child of Powell.
Oh,
the
shit.
Author is Christopher Moore.
I'm going to write this down.
Oh, my God, you need to read it. It is a fictionalized telling of Jesus Christ's childhood through his fictional best friend named Biff.
What's it called again?
It is so... I'll text it to you, but for everyone listening, it's called The Gospel According to Biff, B-I-F-F.
Okay.
And the subtitle is Jesus Christ, Child of Powell, and the author is Christopher Moore.
Okay.
Oh, my God. It is so inappropriate and hilarious and sexual and deviant and sacrilegious and...
All the things I love.
Like, yeah, it's... Christopher Moore, like, is that, like, if you the author, if you like, think what Christians think about, like, Jesus and God and everything, like, he's definitely going to hell.
Word.
For, like, creating this monstrosity of, like, sacrilege. It's amazing. And it's a big book, too. It's 444 pages, but it's written kind of, like, on, like, a YA young adult, like, novel, like, level, so it's, like, not hard reading or anything.
Word.
And it's hilarious. And
I have to get it on Audible.
Anyways, so how did I get on that? Okay, so we were talking about Jesus receiving a blowy.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I've always just, like, kind of thought about that, though. Like, so I heard some comedian bring it up, and I was like, what the fuck? That could be real. I spent a lot of time thinking about fraud shit.
There's a lot of interesting fantasized anecdotes of Christ's life pre-death in that book. But as far as me and coming out and everything, so to answer your question, I was 4 years old and I was watching Star Trek Episode 5, and Princess Leia was in that gold bikini in that one scene, and that's the first time at age 4 I have that, like, my vagina has a heartbeat, what's going on in my pants feeling.
Oh, shit. I mean, she was bad as fuck in that movie, though. That bikini.
I mean, I think, like, I've kind of realized that most people, regardless of gender orientation, will agree that Princess Leia is a babe.
Oh,
like,
straight up.
Kind of what I found, yeah. So
if I asked 100 people on the street, they'd be like, yeah, she's fucking sniper. Like, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, so she sparked the sexual awakening at age 4.
Wow.
But growing up, long story short, you know, you don't talk about that stuff. There's no, you know, masturbation. There's no, like, girls liking girls, boy liking boys. It's just you grow up, you get married to someone of the opposite gender, and just and pop out a couple babies. Like, that's sex. That's relationships. That's what it is. It's
right.
Baby making when you're married, and huh?
Yeah, but sex isn't all about breeding, though. That's the thing that a lot of these closed-minded sons of bitches don't really get. Like, fuck, man, a lot of other animals just like to fuck. It feels great, it's a great way to connect, like, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Why the fuck not, you know? Like, it's dumb that we can't instill that into, like, our newer, like, I believe, like, as a parent myself, here's something I try to do, is that, like, I've got friends of all types of walks of life, and my kids are at that young impressionable age where, like, I want them to know that everyone's okay, you know, ethnicity, if a dude's wearing a dress, that's who they are, that's who they feel like, and we shouldn't judge them like that, because, like, I think that's a lot of the problem. If we don't start with our kids, you know what I mean, like, that's who the future
yeah.
is. That's who we're giving the world away to, in essence. You know what I mean? You, and it's the youth's. It's gonna be the youth's job to make this shit change, and our job to get the ball rolling for them. You know what I mean?
That's what I appreciate about the newer and upcoming
generations.
Is that humanity is progressively becoming more open-minded and more intuitive.
What? Someone just said something, but I couldn't hear it.
Oh, yeah. Get a little closer, Richard.
Sorry about that. I'm Richie, by the way. Nice to meet you.
Hello.
Hi. How you doing?
What?
Sorry. I'm hearing, like, not really coherent words.
All right. Sorry about that. I got to speak up. I talk very quietly.
There we go. I can hear you really well now.
Okay, good. One of the things I appreciate about the newer and upcoming generations, and is something that I'm seeing over time, is just how more open-minded and more in tune we're becoming to things like this.
Mm-hmm.
Such as being gender fluid, your sexuality, things like that. And then
love.
It gives me hope.
Yeah.
It genuinely warms my heart.
It is important as a young queer person to be representation of an example of the happiness and joy you can experience truly living out your truth and being yourself. Because, yeah, I didn't have that growing up, not at all. So I actually didn't come out completely until I was 23.
How old are you now?
I'm 25.
Oh, word.
So basically, I got married to my, at the time, male best friend when I was 21.
Whoa.
Because I was so ingrained in that Christianity that I thought, well, I'm going to hell if I kiss a girl and I don't want to die alone, so I may as well marry this dude.
That's fair. And so you guys had a good friendship already and you were like, well, fuck it, I guess let's build.
Yeah, and because I was in the closet and my parents didn't know I was gay, I thought we have to get married or else they're going to think me and this guy are living in sin. You know, they're going to think we're fucking.
They're going to be on to us. You know,
yeah, so we got married and we were together until last October. And last summer, everything was just going to shit. Last year was horrible with my marriage ending and kind of deconstructing my faith. Like, what do I actually believe? Well, like, this faith that's told me for 24 years that who I am is an abomination and that I'm not worthy of love and belonging because I exist, that's not okay.
Right.
So, and I also discovered that I'm gender fluid, gender non-binary last summer.
Can you explain to us what that is, kind of? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Yeah, for
sure. Like, because I know it's kind of a relatively new term still for some people, and, like, I that's a big thing about this podcast. I kind of want to educate everyone so we're in the fucking know and people aren't, you know, mispronouncing people and, like, just, you know, people, I care about people's feelings and I want people to be educated on, you know, so you don't fucking call someone out and, you know, hurt someone's feelings. Because, man, I'm all about love, you know what I mean? Like, so could you kind of explain to us, like, what gender fluid really means?
Yeah, so for me personally, I can only speak for my own of it, because for everybody it's a little different. Like, if you ask 10 guys, what does it mean to be a man? You know, they'll give you 10 different answers.
That's
true. For me, I have never felt completely like a girl, but I have never felt completely like a boy either. So I would not go so far as to say, oh, I'm a trans man. I identify as a man. But I also wouldn't say I'm a cis woman. I identify as a woman. It's that in-between space for me of I am both and I am neither. And so my gender expression reflects that. The expression being the way I dress, the way I carry myself. There are very naturally more stereotypical masculine things about me. Like, listeners can hear, I have a lower voice. And, like,
you have a lovely
voice,
by the way.
I'm a very, thank you, appreciate that.
No,
like,
seriously.
I'm a very sexual person.
That's great.
And that, like, stereotypically, like, you know, guys are more, like, sexual than girls. Like, all the stereotypes, like, I've always, like, broken those stereotypes because I just don't feel that fits me. I feel like I don't fall in either category of, like, completely feminine, completely masculine. So that's to me what it means. I hope that makes any kind of sense.
No, it totally does.
Mm-hmm.
Not on this podcast, but I'd like to say something.
Yeah, bro.
I appreciate her explaining it in those terms because I have never known what gender fluid was.
Yeah.
And I thought it was like a transition period to being trans.
Wow, and we'll see,
but
that's
now,
it.
Now that she's saying, like, I don't feel completely masculine, completely feminine.
Yeah.
Like, that's a great,
I mean, that's fluid,
to,
you know? It's,
a great fucking way to put it, and I appreciate that. You've at least educated one person.
That's a start, motherfucker.
Thank you for that.
Hey, that's the first domino. That's what I'm talking about.
Well, let me find something else for you real quick. It's on my Instagram.
Yeah.
It is, I posted the definition of non-binary as I understand it for one of my photos one time. I don't have to scroll back far because I don't have many on this new account.
Okay.
Okay, it is non-binary, not related to, composed of, or involving just two things. So I'm not related to, composed of, or involving just male and female. Like, I'm breaking the binary. The binary being that black and white thinking up there is male, there is female. It's like breaking that invisible wall of, like, what could be. Like, what gender could be.
That's great, though. Like, that's, and it's cool that is becoming, I don't know how to say it other than option. Because for a lot of people, they felt really trapped between the the black or white, or the, you know what I mean,
yeah.
the gay or straight, or well, then
absolutely.
Then they gave you the third option not too long ago to be bisexual, you know what I mean? And then now, like, over the last couple of years, there's been, like, a lot more things added to it, and I'm like, fuck yeah, dude. Like, I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
I think it's great. I don't want anyone to...
For sure, yeah.
...to question who they are and hate
that. I appreciate your enthusiasm about it. That's really... That's so nice to hear.
Well, so
like
my fiancé...
supportive of the definition.
Right, my fiancé has a... her sister is a lesbian, and she's actually married to a woman that had prior kids with a man, like, so... And they're in their, like, late 30s. So my kids, you know, like, they got two aunts, you know, that are married. So, like, that's it's a cool thing for them to see that, like, kind of circling back to that. Like, so it's like, it would be cool if a lot more people got to see that firsthand at a younger age. Because then it wouldn't be so odd, you know, it wouldn't be an oddity. It wouldn't be something to point at or ostracize or question, because it would just be, they're just like me. They're just like you, you know, we all bleed red. Same shit.
Love love.
Yeah, it's all love. Like, we say that all the time. Like, I know it just sounds like hippy dippy, but, like, I truly mean those words when I say it's all love. Like, it's the truth.
Yeah.
It's the singularity. That's the one true thing is love. It's the universal language. Like, even above music. And, like, I'm a musician at heart. I play drums. I play guitar. I, you know, write. I do it all. And, it's cool. It's really, it's a cool way to express yourself. Since we're talking about art, what other kind of art forms do you do? Because creatively queer,
Predominantly, I identify as a writer. That is what I identify as, is like who I am and what I do. I've been writing for as long as I could write. I was writing short stories, mini, like, novels, really, like kids' books, like when I was in elementary school, junior high. I started writing poetry about 5-6 years ago, and that's been my thing ever since.
I really like your poetry, by the way.
Much, thank you.
I really enjoy it. It's very honest. And that's what I look for in art, is honesty.
It's some sad boy shit, for sure. It's definitely some sad boy shit.
Dude, Real Friends
shit,
is one of my favorite bands. Like, that sad boy shit hits me in the deepest of deeps. I live for
Wait,
it.
Wait, who's your favorite band?
One of them is Real Friends out of Illinois. They're
okay.
Yeah, they're definitely like one of those stereotypical sad boy bands, but... I don't know. When I was a pizza delivery guy driving around and I was in a sad point in my life, those songs were like, I feel like someone ripped out a page of my heart journal and like gave these guys these songs.
Right?
And I was just like, holy fuck, you guys are singing to me. Like, you ever have that connection with like a piece of art that just like blows your fucking noodle off?
Oh,
just like,
gosh.
Holy shit.
You
like, you almost cry.
So hard.
You just like literally come.
You guys
are
gonna make fun of me so hard, but I gotta say, Taylor Swift just released an alternative folk rock album.
It is so good. Sorry, I'm not on the podcast either, but it is an amazing album, and I know exactly what you're talking about.
That's fair. That was Sunny's girl, Danny. She's here as well. And she was just agreeing that it's a phenomenal
Taylor
album.
Taylor Swift has just put out absolute beauty.
Banger. It's a full-on banger, and I'm not even into that kind of music.
There's a song on there called Peace.
Peace?
That is just like... Yeah, it's called Peace. And it's like, did I write that? Did that come from me? I'm not certain I didn't.
It's like she's looking through your windows, writing about you.
Yeah, it's like right in your heartstrings.
You're like, is this bitch stalking me? Does she know about my cum sock? Does she see through my window at night? Does she see me playing my drums naked? Does she see these things, Taylor? Where are you?
Hi, Taylor.
So I write a lot of sad boy shit, a lot of sad boy poetry. I sell my poetry donation, and I actually take commissions for people. So people will like give me like a prompt, like, could be a word or a phrase or just, like, this event happened in my life, like, and I'm inspired by it and I want them to commemorate it, and I'll, like, write them a poem. And sometimes I can do it on the spot. Sometimes it'll take me a couple hours. Sometimes it'll take me days.
Damn.
But that's something I really, really enjoy because that definitely makes me stay creative and use my brain power and actively, like, harness a skill, because it really is. So that's predominantly what I do with my poetry. I have a Facebook page for that too, but I haven't done a lot of it yet, but I want to do like live readings and such.
Ooh, I love live readings and poetry.
You can't go to open mic nights. So
that's fair.
As well.
But you can live stream it, and it's the same thing. If you got a big enough stretch, half the time people that go to the open mic night, this is the same 15 people that work, like, they just bar flies anyways, you know what I mean? So it's like...
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing the pandemic's really brought out, is the live stream thing. Like, I mean, fuck, you're stuck in your house, why not watch a free fucking concert? Your favorite band putting on a live stream at this time, you know what I mean? Like, Sean did one. They played their album Grow in full, like, top to bottom, and it was phenomenal. It was like, you never hear them do that, and it was just like they did this really, really, really good, like, live from their couches. Like, they're in, like, sweatpants and just, like, sweaters, like, shredding it up on their fucking couches. And it's just like, man. And I feel blessed for things like that. Because I'm like, the biggest music nerd on the planet. Like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I love music. That's a whole other thing we could get into.
We're about to get into that, actually. Kurt, my co-host has a question for you, if that's okay.
Okay, yeah, go for it.
Shoot him, boy.
Hi, I'm Kurt. How are you doing today?
Hey, good. How you doing, Kurt?
Doing good. So, question is, what are your top 5 bands to see live?
Okay, it's funny that you asked this, because I actually know what the question was, like, from the past episode, the last episode, something about, like, if you were stuck on a desert island and you only had 5 albums, what would they be? Mm-hmm. I actually
I love
have
that
my
question.
Answer to that,
mm-hmm.
too. But, my answer to this, 5 bands, what was it, 5 bands
to
that
see
are my favorite
live.
To see live?
Yep.
Okay. Do they have to be bands I have seen, or can I cheat and be like, I imagine this band would be amazing?
You can wake up Jimi Hendrix from the dead if that's who you really want to see.
Okay. Well, my top 2 favorite bands are Lord Huron and the 1975. They're tied for number 1 spot for me. So I've seen Lord Huron here in Grand Rapids. It was incredible. And my dream is to see the 1975 live.
But the 1975 are wonderful live, and if you ever get the chance, jump on it.
Yes, I will be doing that, because I'm one of those like fan nerds that just watches like all the like recorded live stuff on YouTube, like professionally recorded live stuff, and like I pretend I'm there.
Yeah, the 1975 has some real interesting live concerts. Like, that's part of why I love them so much.
Mhm. Yeah, I believe it. So those are the top 2. Someday I want to see Taylor Swift for sure. So that's 3. And it's literally only based on this album that just came out. If before this album came out, I wouldn't have given a shit. But I want to see her perform full floor live. So that's 3.
Yep.
2 more. Probably Sylvan Esso would be number 4. Sylvan Esso is my girlfriend, my partner's favorite group. They do wonderful, like, soft ambient folk music-ish. And who would the 5th be? I mean, this is totally off the wall, but there's this old school, like, pop punk band named Reliant K.
I love them.
Reliant K.
Yeah, and I saw them when I was like 19. It was amazing. Completely off the wall answer compared to the other artists I've mentioned, but I always will have a soft spot for that good old, like, early 2000s pop punk, and I got to see a lot of those shows in the prime of my childhood, so they, Reliant K, put on a damn good show. I think I've seen them twice, actually.
They're phenomenal. I've seen them at Warped Tour a few times, and I was just walking by, and I was like, yo, these guys fucking wail. And I sat there and, like, smoked a joint with a friend, and I was like, these guys kind of fucking slap. So I went and bought a shirt, and then some crazy ex-girlfriend stole that shirt.
Yes.
Oh. sorry to build it up just to tear it down like that, but life be like that sometimes, you know?
No judgment. I want to tell you my albums just because I spent the time preparing it, but my top five albums would be Lonesome Dreams by Lord Huron and Strange Trails by Lord Huron, their first two studio albums, and then it would be this one's so hard. I think it would have to be the 1975's most recent album, Notes on a Conditional Form, and probably A Brief Inquiry into Online Relationships by them. That's their album that came out the one before last. And then the fifth would be Folklore by Taylor Swift, for sure.
Damn, so T-Swift straight up snuck up in there and, like, changed your music game.
I know, she changed my life. Yeah, she changed my life. This album came out, and it's just, I'm hyper-fixated, hardcore. Like, I was the same way when Notes on a Conditional Form by the 1975 came out.
Mm-hmm.
And straight up, I was like, I love that album so much. I think it's their best album yet. And I think that I'm glad it would have been worth it before, but say I only ever get to see the 1975 live once, I am so glad I waited until after Notes on a Conditional Form came out, so I have the chance to see those songs perform live, because they are my favorite content that band has made. So yes, I love them. I love music. I nerd out when you get me talking about my favorite artists.
No, that's great. I can just talk about music till the fucking cows come home. Like, I have a band for you, actually. A friend of mine showed me these guys while we were tripping. They've got a crazy trippy name, too. They are called Rainbow Kitten Surprise.
Yes.
Oh, I know them.
Hello. Oh, my jeez. I've been so into them lately.
Thank you, Chris.
Yeah, I listen to them a lot.
They're so good. And, like, they came on this, I want to say it was like a Young the Giant, like, I picked a song, and then, you know, Spotify just kind of does this schizophrenic thing where it just goes off, and it's like, this is kind of like this, this is kind of like this, and it keeps you going, and sometimes I find some really new, cool shit that I haven't fucked with yet. Like, there's another dude called, his name's Matt Mason, I think is how you say, I don't know how you say his last name, it's Matt M., but he has this song called Hallucinogenics that's just been, like, on fucking constant replay for me for, like, a while. And it's not even because, like, I'm fascinated with him. It's just, this dude's voice is just something fucking out of, like, a dream. Like,
okay, speaking of music about hallucinogenics, have you heard of Dan Deacon, any of you?
Absolutely.
Okay, good. Anyone who is interested in trippy music generally, like, needs to have Dan Deacon in their repertoire, for sure.
Absolutely. Or for me, Frank Zappa always has to come up, and what is it, King Lizard? King Gizzard and the Lizard.
Have you heard of The Octopus Project?
What's that about?
The Octopus Project is mostly instrumental, and they do trippy, like, guitar riffs and drum solos and weird, like, kind of like Matt and Kim without vocals. It's like Matt and Kim, if they didn't have vocals, mixed with, like, Dan Deacon, I'd say. Like, very, like, trippy, instrumentally based stuff. So that's always fun.
I'm a huge fan of instrumentals. Like, I honestly, like, the last, like, this is another question I was going to ask you, actually, was, after I'll just tell you. So we went to see a band called Polyphia. I don't know if you ever heard of them. But they're an instrumental band. And they're fucking incredible. Oh, man. They're, like, next time you take any... Oh, you're tripping on mushrooms. Tonight, try listening to their album Muse by Polyphia. It'll literally fucking blow your just... Your brain's gonna be like, holy shit, this can be done on guitars. Like, I went to see them and I took, I want to say it was like half a strip of L with one of my best friends. He's the vocalist in my band, Sink or Swim. And it was just like it was a couple instrumental bands went on first. And then we were there for Polyphia. Like, I'm a huge Polyphia fan. So they go on and the power goes out at the beginning of the set. So we're standing there tripping in the dark. And I'm coming up incredibly fucking hard. And I just hear the subsonic, like, boom, 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 of the bass. And I feel like my feet become like roots. And I'm planted in the ground like Baby Groot style. Like, that's me. I'm Baby Groot. And the music is literally like the fucking Harry Potter whopping willow tree. I'm just getting blown around by this wicked ass wind. And I'm so in it. My girl and Chris's girl, God bless their souls, they took care of us wonderfully that night. They just stood back and let us do our thing. But it was, man, it was like meeting God. Like, I can't even describe it any better than that. It was just like, I've never been at a show where I felt more fucking connected than that. Like, a lot of people, like, a lot of the old heads would be like, oh, don't take acid and go to a show. You're just, it's a audio overload. And the music you like ain't even going to sound the same. But it was just like hearing it on a different fucking, like a whole different plane of existence. Like, it was just like, I heard it like a way I've never heard it before. And I could feel every note, like, just like blasting through me. And it was fucking crazy. So, like, them, and I think Strawberry Girls was there. They have a song called Spanish Bay that they have a live version of it. At Audio Tree, I think that's what it's called. It's another good one that's always in my trip mix. It's just so fucking incredible. It just washes over you. And they have a really good way of, like, painting songs. Like, with their instrumentals, it's like, I don't know, it's like, what do they call it? Like, musical poetry or something like that? It's just like, there's no lyrics to it.
Spoken word?
Yeah, it's kind of like that, but, like, they use the instruments to, like, they give you the title of the song, like, Spanish Bay, and it makes you feel like you're, like, on the Spanish Bay, and you're, like, checking the shit out. Like, it just,
their album, it, French Ghetto, makes you feel like you're in New Orleans.
Yes!
That French Ghetto one has a really good cover of Swimming Pools.
Oh, yeah, that Kendrick Lamar song, yeah. But, yeah, I'm just babbling about instrumental bands. I could do that all night. I'm sorry. I was going on a rant on that.
No, you're good. I like it. It's good talk. I have a crazy, like, crazy story for you about the second time or third time I ever took shrooms. I've probably done shrooms like upwards of 200 times by now.
Shit. So you're in there.
I'm very much a connoisseur of shrooms. And I think my third time I did it, it was the first time I experienced ego death.
Oh, shit.
Which, I don't even know how to explain that if you haven't experienced ego death, really. You can't really describe it, but when you know, you know.
Yeah.
So,
you definitely
basically
know.
Oh, yeah.
Man. Basically, DMT did that to
universe,
me.
The universe slash God slash some kind of, like, crazy divinity, divine power, like, met me in the form of a giant, like, ethereal, translucent space octopus.
Oh, what the fuck? That's incredible.
It's so ridiculous to even, like, try to describe it, because I knew it was, like, this crazy, like, spiritual, like, spirit guide type thing, but also, like, shrooms for me, like, when I'm on Molly or acid, I'm just there to have a good time. I'm
right.
just just partying. I'm just feeling myself. I'm not thinking about this, but, like, shrooms can be very sexual for me. Like, I'm a very sexual person on my own, but, like, typically, it's not, I just don't even mean I get a boner, but it's just, like, this weird, crazy, like,
charge.
I need to connect spiritually in that way.
Yeah, you're, like, charged.
Like, I'm like, what?
Yeah, it gives you, like, a charge of, like, sexual energy, and you just...
Oh, yeah, man, yeah, absolutely.
You get that shit out.
So, I remember, like, jerking off in my living room, as I do when I'm on shrooms, usually. Like,
it's a beautiful thing. Just, like, it's a scary, beautiful thing
totally
to fucking come while tripping.
Wow.
Yeah, I was totally just peeking on my trip. I was in outer space, like, chilling with God.
Just jizzing on stars and shit.
Yeah, it weirdly, like, I basically describe it by saying I had sex with the universe, because I did. Like, I was technically, like, just physically doing the act of masturbating, but I was totally, like,
you were the universe,
though. Divine creature.
Yeah.
And I, at the same time, and then, and I think, like, I orgasmed and then had ego death.
Oh, God.
When I came, I just, like, dissipated into nothing. I was non-existent. Like, it was just, it was oblivion and nirvana at once.
So you, like, came out your ego. Like, wow. Like, literally shedded yourself. Yeah, like, gave birth to yourself. Wow.
Yes.
You are your own mother at that point. Fucking congratulations. Like, I'm happy.
It was some midnight gospel shit, for sure.
Was there tears? We're friends here.
Oh, yeah, I cry, like, the whole time when I'm on shroom. I'll totally... It was okay, did you listen to Lance's episode of Creatively Queer?
I did, that's why I brought it up. That's why I brought it up
a little bit. Okay, a lot of people didn't get to that point where I talked about this, but I will totally, like, when I'm tripping, I will just be, like, in total, like, lovemaking mode with myself, and I'm just crying because it's beautiful, and I'm loving my body and, like, feeling that self-love.
That's
such
awesome.
A crazy, like... just spiritual, like, emotional level, and it's so healing. It's so healing. It's like...
It's like giving your spirit a high five. Like, that's fucking cool.
Like, going back to, like, the Christianity thing, like, if you're gay, if you're trans, if you're just any... If you're raised in that, basically, and you have a sex drive at all, you have so much shame, like, beaten into you. Like, you're bad. What you want is bad. Like, sex is dirty. Like, don't touch yourself. All that stuff. And so, like, I think a lot of Christian kids, like, especially if they're queer, like, grow up with all of that, like, all those messages that are super hateful and super psychologically damaging. So for me, like, sex on shrooms, whether with myself or a partner, is, like, super healing, I believe, because it's such a spiritual experience in a way that feels so clean and pure. Yeah.
So do you consume THC when you trip? Does it enhance for you? Like, I feel like when I trip and I'm like, I feel like I'm almost done, like I'm coming down on the ride, I feel like when I take like a dab, because I'm kind of a dab guy, so I'll take a dab and it'll like fucking re-spiral me. It's like getting drug backwards up the curly slide is what it feels like, and I'm back at the top again, like, oh, shit!
Yeah, I've done that. Like, I've definitely combined shrooms with a crap ton of edibles before.
Oh, how was that? How was that?
Oh, I was in outer space for a good 8 hours.
Were you, like, physically stuck, too?
You know how edibles are, you're... Sorry?
Were you, like, physically stuck? Like, did you feel, like, putty at that point? Because I feel like when I do edibles,
I get this
body lock, like, just fucking stuck. Like, if I was a Pokemon, I would just be a muck, like a purple fucking slime ball, just all one thing. Like, that's just how I feel.
I was quintessentially in the couch, literally. Like, I was covered in pillows and blankets. I was just so cozy. I was so cozy, and I did not leave for hours. And this was when I was dealing with my divorce. Like, my husband had just left. I was, like a lot of my psychedelic experiences of, like, last winter, fall, spring, where a lot of it was dealing with my breakup, my separation. And so there was a lot of, like, crazy, like, processing and grief and stuff that came out of that after I was processing and grieving, like, my spiritual transition and all of that. So basically, at the time I'm thinking of when I combined a lot of edibles with shrooms, I was just in my couch for hours, like, happy crying and, like, being cuddled by my girlfriend and our friends, like, eating snacks and petting cats, and
it was really good. I feel like my animals definitely pick up on when I'm tripping, because I have 3 cats and 2 dogs, and, like, I literally feel like fucking Moses when I'm tripping. It's like all the animals come into my room and they're like, "What's up, Dad?" You look like you're on a different level of existence right now. You need some help?
Scrappy especially.
Oh, my dog will just get up in my face and be like, bro, are you good?
That solo trip.
Yeah?
Your dog was a dick.
Yeah, my dogs can be dicks. Like, that's the thing about dogs, though. They're honest dicks. Cats are kind of like sneaky dicks. Like, they just don't give a fuck. They don't care if they hurt your feelings or not. I don't know. I just get that vibe. Like, do you ever feel like your animals pick up on it? Do you have animals? I'm sorry. Probably should have been the first question.
Whenever, like, me and my girlfriend will trip together, we have a cat, and she'll just be like, what the fuck is wrong with you guys?
Cats are perma-tripping anyways. Like, you look at a cat in their eyes sometimes, they just look like they're gonna do some unpredictable-ass cat shit. And sometimes they do. They get these, like...
Mm-hmm.
Like, their brain excretes DMT between the hours of, like, 2 and 4 a.m., and they're, like, on fucking alien-level just functionality at that point. They're like... Man, I know my kitten. I have a kitten. She's a little white baby named Annabelle. And she turns into, like, a full-on, like, crackhead energy at, like, 3 a.m. And it's just, like, she'll wake me up by, like, biting my lip or just, like, trying to pierce my fucking nose with her little kitten. Just, she's just wild, and she's, like, hella fast. So it's, like, she'll bite me and run off really quick, and I, like, wake up. I'm like, what the fuck was that? And I'll roll over and wake up my girl. I'm like, hey, did you just slap me or some shit? Like... I know that wasn't in a dream, like, you know, and then I see the kitten peering up over the fucking corner of the bed, just kind of looking at me like, is he awake? I swear, man, like, cats are kind of dicks, you know?
Yeah.
But go ahead, your girlfriend has a cat, or you have a cat?
Oh, lost her real quick. Oh,
that's your phone, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ooh, 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 ooh,
dude, I don't know what happened when those phone calls came in, but my phone's on Do Not Disturb right now.
Okay, cool.
So I have no idea why that happened.
Hello?
Are you there? We lost you.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. I'm sorry.
Me either. That was, like, really weird. It just randomly dropped. I was like, what the... Okay.
Yeah.
I was like, I hope I didn't offend you by asking about animals. I hope not.
Click. No, totally offended by animals.
She's like, he compared a kitten to a crackhead. I'm out. I'm gone.
No, I don't know. I don't know what that was, but you are okay.
So, currently, so what's your living situation like? If you don't mind me asking. Do you live with your partner? And can you tell us a little bit about that and, like, the new happiness you might have found, like, with the acceptance and, like, living with a female partner? Is that correct? Female?
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Can you kind of tell us about that? Like, what that's like and, like...
Yeah, totally.
The difference between, like, living unhappy, like, with this, like, kind of living in a lie or a shadow of, like, what could have been, like, when you were married and, like... You were kind of, like, living for someone else at that point, it feels like, because you felt like God was judging you and your family was, or just whatever, you know what I mean? Like, it's an incredible weight to carry, you know, just kind of wondering, if you felt comfortable talking about it, that'd be really cool. Maybe someone else that listens to our podcast is going through something similar, and maybe, could be of some help.
Sure. Where to start with that? Well, yeah, I live with, Alex is my girlfriend. We met on Tinder last spring, so a year and a half ago. And this was when I was still married. So
you met her when you were still married?
It was complicated for a while, and I won't go into that too much.
That's okay. You don't have to. You don't have to expose.
Just to kind of protect the safety, some of the details of that.
That's
basically,
fair.
I knew she was the love of my life right away. And,
you just had that feeling, like, when you first met? Like, something would just...
Yeah.
Unbelievably, just click, like, magnetic attraction?
I knew she would at least be my best friend for the rest of my life. I didn't know if we would date. I didn't know what would happen, but I knew she would be in my life for the rest of my life.
That is so sweet. I'm very happy for you. Fuck yeah, dude.
Thank you. Yeah, she is amazing. She is kind and funny and loving and is just really the best thing that ever happened to me. So we live with our cat. We live with our landlord, Crystal, and her boyfriend, Ed. The four of us are a little family, and they have a dog and guinea pigs and rabbits and hamsters and fish and snails.
Damn, there's a lot of love in that
household.
House.
Yes,
awesome.
We are an animal household for sure. My quote-unquote real job is I do building maintenance at a pharmaceutical power plant, which is a nice way of saying I scrub their toilet.
It's a gig, man. I've done it. I've done shittier.
It's a fine, I feel like everyone should do it at least once in their life because it's chill, it's a steady paycheck, everyone stays out of your way. It's a good introvert job.
It's humbling as well, you know? It makes you, because, I've scrubbed toilets, man. It lets you know you ain't shit, you know? Not to, bring you down or anything. I enjoy any chance to be humbled. Because I really don't like inflated personalities. So, that's cool.
Is working a job like
that?
Yeah,
it's good. And that is I work 40 hours a week there. That is my predominant job. And then I work another 20 hours a week, 20 to 25 hours at a warehouse packing and shipping. We're a third-party packing and shipping place. We ship to places like Walmart and Target and what have you.
Killing it. Hell yeah.
So, I am busy, and then any free time goes to Creatively Queer or my personal poetry or modeling work. Lately, I've been dabbling in that a little bit as well.
I've seen that. Your Insta is very awesome.
Thank you.
I don't know if it's out of line, but I feel like it's very bold. Some of the pictures you took with you were shirtless and you just had something covering your nipples. That was bold. I was get it, fucking girl.
I
was happy as fuck. I was get it.
As naked as I can be on the internet without getting kicked off the internet. That is my goal.
That's fucking awesome.
All about the body positivity and sex positivity and just all those, again, messages I wasn't raised with about, your body is not dirty, sex is not dirty, but, nudity doesn't equal, sex either. There can be, that whole thing.
Oh, absolutely.
It doesn't have to be sexual just because someone's naked. So, the intersection of those ideas are what I strive to portray personally and professionally when my body is involved.
Yeah.
So, my hands are in many pots, as the phrase goes. I am a busy bee, and I struggle every day with my mental health. I am autistic, and that is not a disorder per se. That is a way of being. But in addition to that, I do have several diagnosed mental health conditions that do affect my everyday life. Autism does not make it easy either, but it is something I'm learning to embrace and love about myself because autistic people are not burdens. We're pretty fucking great.
My vocalist is on the spectrum as well, and that's my best friend, man. I would take a bullet for that guy.
Yeah.
He's the smartest motherfucker
people.
I know. If you talk to him about anything he's even slightly interested in, he knows the details.
He will talk your head
off. The deep deets. And I'm fuck yeah, bro. You're a fucking encyclopedia, bro. And I love that. I love when people, I don't know, passion. I believe there's a lot of passion in really knowing a lot, Knowing your shit, It takes a lot. Work. I respect the fuck out of work, And you're a busy bee. Fuck yeah.
I am. Yeah.
So thank you for sitting down with us.
I try to take care of myself first and foremost so that I can care for the loved ones in my life and take care of my passions. And I'm very, very grateful for those people in my life who pour their heart and soul into my passions. I'm going to give a shout out to my sound engineer, sound editor, Bex Nichols, and my social media director, Eden Denton, and finally my graphic designer, Caroline. I don't know how to say your last name. Your last name confuses me, but you're the only Caroline I know. So, yeah, those three wonderful, wonderful humans that help me make Creatively Queer possible. They pour themselves 100,000% into my dreams, making this podcast and this brand a reality. And I'm so very grateful for them. So, got on my little soapbox there for a second.
No, absolutely. You gotta thank your people, man. I am not shit without my friends. I mean, I know it sounds a little self-deprecating, but honestly, like, I love them. They're my family, you know, like, Big Kurt and Sonny, like, these are my boys, you know, and I care about them deeply, so, and I appreciate it. And by the way, I'm like a weird kind of, I'm just shitting here. You guys' website's really official. The Creatively Queer one, like, that you sent me the link to, that's fucking nice. That's really nice.
Thank you.
We need to talk about that
because
I liked
it. I'm really
proud of it. Yeah, I'm incredibly proud of it for you. I was like, damn, this is official as shit.
Well, thanks.
Yeah, for sure. And it's very easy to operate, which I appreciated that because I'm kind of a simpleton sometimes. And it's got just enough information, you know what I mean? And it's easy to... It's cool. It's very user-friendly. So shout out to whoever made your website, like, for sure, because we may have to talk about that, like, off-cast about it.
I would say the URL, but it's weird. It's complicated, so I'll just have... How about you just put the URL
in the
episode description?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll put it in the comments, for sure.
People can find us. I'd appreciate that. Yeah.
Absolutely. How else can we find you and your art and things like that? Because, like... I was, like, preaching on that. I really enjoy your poetry. It's incredibly deep and real. I felt the authenticity of it. It felt from the heart, and, like, not like you were just like, fuck it, I should write something. Like, I could feel that it meant something, which was cool, you know? Like, I try to, when I write music, I want to come from where I'm really feeling, not just... Okay, here's my topic. I'm gonna write a song about someone in a car crash. And then I just start thinking about it, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not writing a narrative here. I'm talking about something that's like a... Each song is like a mini therapy session for me, if that makes sense. Like, especially when I write my acoustic things. Like, I have an acoustic album that I'm working on singing and doing this acoustic electric shit on right now. And it's cool because I'm mainly a drummer. So it's nice to kind of get back to the guitar part of it and get back kind of to the basics of my roots a little bit. And I'm not much of a singer, but I've been really starting to fall in love with my own voice. I don't know if that sounds conceited or what, but I kind of know what I can do. You know what I mean? And I'm still working towards it. Like, that's the thing about being an artist is that you're crazy if you say you know it all. You know what I mean? You never stop being a student. Like, art is something that'll teach you to the day you're fucking 6 feet under and getting nibbled on worms, you know? Like, it's a great teacher, for sure. Like, I don't know where I was going with that now. I'm just... I appreciate you being an artist.
I think you asked me a question at the beginning of that, and I forgot what it was.
That happens. Damn it.
It's okay.
Can we find you? Like, is it all on the website pretty much? Just, like, your Instagram and shit like that? Oh, and you said you may read a poem for us. Are you still prepared to do that? If not, it's okay.
I totally can. I just wasn't sure which one to do, but I can browse on my Instagram for a second while we talk and try to find one.
That would be great, Just, I mean, if you feel
anything,
like...
Anything...
Yeah.
Anything creatively queer related can be found on the website, which the link will be posted to, I trust.
Yep.
And, so otherwise we're just, except for Patreon, we're patreon.com/queercreativelyone. It's weird because that's the only URL, all the others were taken. So that's the only one that's weird, /queercreativelyone. Everything else, we're just creatively queer on Instagram and Facebook. That's all where we are right now. For me, my personal page, which is also my, like, writing page, is natertot_, like tater tot, but nay, N-A-E.
That's clever. I got a giggle. I got a really good giggle when you sent that to me. I was like, oh. I love funny little things like that. They're clever.
I think I'm funny, so I appreciate that.
I think you're funny, so hey, that makes two of us at least.
Thanks. Well, good. Yeah, I'm vain as fuck, so I love hearing that shit. My modeling page is NaderTotShots, exactly like it sounds. And then on Facebook, I am either just Nay McCowell, feel free to stalk me, add me, send me a DM, whatever. I love to talk. I love to connect. I'm open. So if you want to find me just on my personal page, I'm Nay McCowell. And if you want to find me on my professional page, it's Poetry by Nay. Yeah. And I can write any of that down, send it to you, Tommy, if you...
Yeah, absolutely.
If you wanted to put it in a post or whatever.
I was going to do that. I was going to have you send me, like, just whatever picture of yourself or maybe even the whole crew, so we can have, like, a collaboration post about, you know, like...
Oh, that'd be
Trippy
great.
Cupcakes meets Creatively Queer, you know what I mean? Like, it'd be cool to, like, to make a friendship out of this and, you know, have you on another time or whatever, you know what I mean? Because I enjoy making friends.
Have you guys
and,
on.
Dude, that'd be great, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I was looking for poems. Yes.
Absolutely.
I mean, I have a really sad one that just came up, first of all, but that I probably shouldn't do that.
Whatever one just really hits you, because we're getting close to the wrap-up point, so give us something really cool
that.
To end with. No. Give us something that's
Kay.
From the heart and that we're going to just love. Oh, it hung up. Pause. And we're back. It's all good.
Ooh.
Did you pull up the good one?
Okay.
This is the final countdown.
Working on it real quick. Going into my drive here. Let's see, what's this one? So it'll load so I can read it. That'd be great.
Random background talk. Go ahead.
I have one question, actually, that just really came to
What's
mind.
What's that?
It's here, bro.
So you've been doing this podcast for a little while. What would be one dream guest that you'd love to have on?
Good question.
Okay. This is a funny answer and an anecdote. So what got me into podcasting, the idea in the first place, are two amazing individuals. One is, his name is Matthias Roberts. He is a 29-year-old cis gay man living in Seattle. He has a podcast called Queerology. Could not recommend it more. He is a licensed therapist and speaks beautifully about current mental health issues with his guests. Their name is Kevin Garcia, and they are also a gay, non-binary individual that has a podcast less on the spiritual side of things, more on the cultural side of things. It's called A Tiny Revolution. So
I could not recommend
those two podcasts enough. Those are the two podcasts that got me into podcasting. So this brings me to the fact that Matthias Roberts, who is one of my heroes, one of my gurus, he was my second ever recording, and it was a disaster. I cannot emphasize what a disaster it was. It was a recording. It was a file that I immediately put in the trash. I never looked at it again. I knew I would never even try to salvage it or use it because it was that bad.
We've had one like that, actually. We did a long one.
I could not have a coherent conversation. Like, it was, and then, like, I kept dropping Wi-Fi, so, like, the call kept dropping, kind of like it is now, but worse. Like, every 10 seconds, it would drop.
Oh, geez.
And we couldn't hear each other. Like, neither of our mics were working. It was just, like, all bad. So, ironically, my dream podcast guest has already happened, and I completely botched it. But we're friends on Facebook. He's reached out to me a couple of times on a personal level. I probably will reach out to him again, asking for a second chance at making a coherent and good professional podcast episode with him. And if I could get Kevin Garcia as well, that would be ideal. But these people are way too famous for me, so we'll see if the chance even comes. But I thought you'd appreciate that little anecdote with
Those are good.
The answer there.
Those are really good. I was gonna say, I think if I had to just, like, as a counter to that, like, someone I would really like to have on the podcast, I think maybe, I know it's gonna sound fucking crazy, but, like, Duncan Trussell, I believe, because
I knew you were gonna say Duncan Trussell. Yep.
I knew you knew I was, too. It's like, I could, like, feel you smiling, because you're like, this motherfucker's gonna say Duncan Trussell. Like, you could just see it. And I was like, well, here it goes. So, yeah.
Okay,
man,
I found a poem I want to read.
Go ahead. Let's do it. I want to hear it.
I found a poem I want to read. I have not read this in so long. We'll see if I fuck it up.
Let's go.
Hightail it toward the flurry of your dreams. Move past what's been weakened. Pull inspiration from streams. Gloriously wander up alleys untold. Move above the true-hearted and in admiration behold. Consume what you find. Let none go to waste. Find in your wandering it was only a taste. Breathe the high heavens, cascade to their depths. Dance the deep desert, its blessings at best. Let none find you here. This is just meant for you. And leave what you find for your next traveler too.
Damn, that was so fucking good. What is that one called?
Spiritual Journey. That's called A Spiritual Journey. I wrote it for a friend who was in the middle of kind of a similar battle I was in the middle of last summer with finding myself spiritually and coming out of a season and going into a different one. So I wrote that for... I was at a festival. I was on acid, I think, when I wrote that, actually.
Wow, that was so good. And the fit that you wrote that while on that, like, plane, it's just, like, you were so tapped into your true self and, like... Especially since you said you kind of just was going through the same thing. You were able to, like, reopen up that wound, so to speak, and, like, speak from that moment and that feeling. That's fucking awesome. Thank you so much for that.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I appreciate the compliment. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you for the time with us this evening. I know we played a little bit of Facebook Messenger tag for a little while, trying to set it up, but I appreciate it going through for sure. And thanks for talking to us.
Yeah, I'm happy about it. Thank you.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
really
you got anything?
Good to meet all of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Do you have anything you want to say to our people about your podcast or anything like that before we wrap her up?
I would just like to say that this is kind of silly saying this on a podcast where you guys are looking for other people who share their stories of art and psychedelics and spirituality and all the stuff that you tap into as your topics, but Creatively Queer is meant to be a home for, like, predominantly artists, predominantly queer people, but really all people. It doesn't matter if you don't think you create anything. It doesn't matter if you're cis or straight. As long as you are an ally, as long as you are, you know, awake and humble and in the world and doing your part, there is a home for you in the creative world. There is a home for you in the spiritual world. We all have creativity. We all have a spirit that is powerful, that is full of divinity, that surpasses and transcends this plane of being, and there are ways to tap into that, and there are ways to find community that will encourage you in that. And I would like to say that, based on what I know of these guys, Trippy Cupcakes offers that space, and I know I can say exclusive, or not exclusive, that's the wrong word, I can say absolutely that Creatively Queer is a similar space where you are safe. If you want to send us a message, a DM, a text, it's all up on our Facebook page, our website, all ways to get in contact with us. We are down for constructive feedback. If there's something in an episode you didn't like, let me know. I can make tweaks. I love that shit. If there's something in particular that, like, really spoke to you and helped you out, like, I'd love to hear that too. If you have suggestions, recommendations, if you want to be on the podcast, or if you have a recommendation for a guest, like, all that would be so dope. And me, on a personal level, if you ever need a friend, it says on my business card, I am a poet, I am a hippie, I am a friend. I love to listen. I like to think I'm good at communicating and connecting with people. I have, you know, my own hot mess inside going on, the sad boy fuckery that Lance and I discussed, if you listen to his episode.
I love Lance so much. That was one of my favorite episodes.
He's so good. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. But yeah, I just want to put myself and my platform out there as a safe space for anyone really that needs that home and is on that level of really processing these things that we discussed and really is self-aware about that growth and everything. And yeah, my DMs are open. If anyone ever needs to talk, if anyone needs an ear, or if you just want to shoot the shit, and this has been a lot of fun, and I'm really thankful for you guys. I think 3 or 4 of you I've met tonight. I can't remember all of your names, but you're all lovely, and I've loved sharing this space with you.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
And
the honor is mine.
No. It's ours together. It's another thing we can share. And I appreciate you. Thanks for coming on tonight. And enjoy the rest of your mushroom trip.
I will. I'm feeling good. Yes.
Awesome. Well, thank you for coming on. This is Trippy Tommy for the Trippy Cupcakes. And I appreciate you. Let's stay in contact. I'd love to hear your next episode.
Thank you. You as well. Yeah, I'll be listening.
All right. Well, shit. Have a great night. And we appreciate you.
Yeah, you too, guys.
All right.
You too. Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Bye.